Dear Shooter, SHOT Show is over. The unofficial start to the shooting year had us on the edge of our seats. What shiny, amazing new goodies did we find this year? Actually, not a whole lot. At least nobody died in the bathroom stall. At least that we know of. But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip on. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
So, yeah, we're back from SHOT. And before we really get rolling here, I gotta throw a shout out to someone that you would least expect. I've got to throw a shout out to Mark Zuckerberg. That little weasel came out and said he's getting rid of the fact checkers and he's going to stop censoring on Facebook because Biden made him do it. Way to go, Zuck. You threw an old man under the bus on his way out the door.
So I'm going to have to go with Joe Rogan on this, though. So you're going to be the straight-up guy. You're going to be the straight shooter. You know, you're going to tell us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You're not going to get involved in censorship. You're the good guy now.
No, he's not.
And he nods his head and he says, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's not. And believe me, I am not pro-Zuckerberg. I'm just anti-elder abuse.
I don't know. It's. I understand that there are things that you shouldn't be able to say out loud unless the need to be said out loud. Fire in a crowded theater is one of them, right? You can still stand up and do it. That shit has consequences.
It does.
Facebook should be no different.
Well, agreed, but he wants to censor political speech and controversial subjects, and you just that's not America. That's not what we're based on.
Where is our freedom of speech?
You can't have a discussion with one side of the topic.
No, you can't. That's the whole basis for freedom of speech. Like we have no idea where the next great idea is going to come from. And if you have fear of speaking out, we're never going to get those great ideas.
Well, and we are blessed in this country to have that First Amendment and the freedom of speech, which allows us to speak out against stupid stuff the government does,
illegal stuff
that the government does.
Everything.
Correct. But you don't have to fear persecution or punishment thereof, right?
We have the last 4 years.
Well, you have. I mean, the left is going to say, well, it's their turn to be persecuted. You watch.
Oh, I know.
But at least we'll hear their side. As ludicrous as it may be, we'll hear it.
No, I'll hear them out and nod and smile and go, wow, you need to go back to school.
Nobody's going to hunt them down. Nobody's going to throw them in jail. It doesn't happen in this country.
No, I did hear, though, that they rounded up 50 members of 10 de Aragua out of Colorado.
The Venezuelan thing.
Yes.
Good.
They rounded up 50 of them. And everybody's like, oh, problem solved. No, not quite.
No, but it's a good start. It sends the message that bullshit's over.
Yeah. And yeah, time to get serious about it.
That's right.
So, SHOT Show.
Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with that event.
Well, I do too. And I remembered explicitly having this conversation with Brandy. I remember we were walking through and we're sitting there, we're like thinking of how many years we've been. And I told her, I said, you know, I remember like my first couple and I was so excited to be there. And now I'm like, God, I have to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you do. You get involved in the industry and you kind of got to be there in some capacity or the rumors of your death start to circulate.
Yeah, whatever.
They do. Sometimes, and that's okay. Pay your child support. It's fine.
Usually, yes, you feel like, crap, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. But once you get there, get checked in, and get out on the floor, you start seeing all these really cool things, and you're kind of happy you're there.
Yeah.
And people I know and I like, mm-hmm. that makes the show for me.
And I will say, not being tied down to a booth, and I didn't really have an agenda. I didn't really have a schedule. So I was able to just kind of really just wander around and check stuff out.
That would have been nice.
This was probably one of the most enjoyable trips to Vegas that I have ever had.
Nice.
And this, I think, makes 9 for me.
Okay.
I had a good time, both at the show and out of it. I mean, we had a great time.
Yeah, I started SHOT Show life in Orlando.
Oh, God.
That was
back when we were selling muskets.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago. Yikes. But it's evolved over the years, and the industry has evolved away from it in a lot of ways. So the shows, it's interesting, and it is a good go kick the tires and what's new and find something neat and shiny you haven't seen before. I didn't have that experience this year. I had a schedule. I had meetings I had to go and do, so I mm-hmm. wasn't free like you were.
Right.
But I didn't run across anything to me that was just eye-popping, jaw-dropping new.
Now, I'm going to call you out, and I'm going to call you a liar.
Okay.
Because you came up to me, and you were really, really excited about a double-stack 1911 from SDS that's going to give Staccato a run for their money.
But it's not new.
It is. Well, it's
not like,
new.
It's like, aha, yeah. The patent ran out, and now they're everywhere. Kemper's got one. SDS has got one. I mean, you can't. I mean, Springfield's got one, for Christ's sake.
Right.
You couldn't throw a stone in at the show and not run across somebody that has a double stack 1911 yeah. and 9mm.
Yeah, or a lever gun, new lever gun, or yeah, you know the magazine fed.
Year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw a lot of shotguns. Now I did see something kind of innovative. It was an AR that had it's an ambidextrous bolt release.
Yes.
But it's not like the old, you know, wrap around the bottom of the magwell kind of thing. It wasn't bulky. It was very discreet, very nice, trim. I really liked it.
Yeah, and then that parts kit's been around for a while, but you had to have a machinist modify your lower to make it work.
Right.
Rock River came out with one the one I saw anyway.
That was what I saw.
The Rock River booth. And
yep.
It is elegant, subtle, and it's purposeful. It was well done. I think that they are buying the parts kits from somebody else, and I think they're having their lowers cut and made specifically for this use. It's coming out of a forging, so at the end of the day, it's not horribly new.
No.
It was kind of a nice augment to a standard design.
I did like the way they did that. Mm-hmm. I saw that. The probably the most innovative thing that I saw, Brandy and I ran across this, and she actually made me put it on and go through the demonstration, but it was it's a company called Accuracy Under Fire, and they came up, it's a training aid where you put on these two sleeves and you wear a backpack and it all hooks up, and then you have an instructor back here with a remote, and essentially what this thing is a souped up TENS unit that completely locks you up, and it's to simulate you got shot. And it you are completely immobile when they turn this thing up.
See, I looked at the video of you with this thing on, and how bulky is that brace thing they put you in?
You know, it looks bulkier than it is. It's really not. It
kind of looked like a nylon sleeve, like those tattoo sleeves you see on that people wear.
There was not any structure to it.
Not
it was
real
just holding
no.
the tins
no.
spots.
No,
together.
think like the neoprene, like the braces that people wear on their elbows and things
okay.
like that. But
okay.
it just it covered your whole arm. It really wasn't that uncomfortable until they turned the damn thing on and I couldn't move. But
I watched them hit you a couple times with that thing, and you were immobilized completely and totally.
Mm-hmm.
In the right spots that they wanted you. They had complete control over where that was and
yep.
how that was.
Yep.
Was there pain involved?
No. Not painful. Very surprising. And when you, like, completely lose control of a limb,
yeah,
it's almost a panic response.
Yeah.
But then they're like, okay, now you got to get you got to get your gun out and you got to go to work. And all of that, you forget about it. You just do what you do.
Well, I will tell you, way back in the day, I took a round. And when your arm goes useless, you no longer have control of it. I mean, there was pain involved, but not to the level that I thought there should have been. But it was more disturbing to me that I didn't have use of my arm.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what this thing is simulating, that's what brought me to look at medical as a need train activity.
Right.
Because if you were by yourself, you'd be hosed.
Right. Well, and they actually show one of the training videos that they were doing. And it started out, it was an officer in a vehicle, and guy comes around the corner, shoots at him, and they simulate he takes a round, and it was in his strong side arm. And they show him, and as he's getting out of the vehicle, his gun comes out of the holster and lands on the floorboard. So now he's got to get out in a gunfight, and he's dropped his gun. So he's got to get around the other side of the vehicle, retrieve his weapon, shoot the bad guy, and then once they have established, okay, the bad guy's down, now you got a tourniquet before they will let off.
Got to apply all the pieces and parts. I think it's a brilliant training aid.
Oh, it is. It's a little bit on the costly
side.
Well,
that's why I was going next. Anytime we come across something that is educational cool, it usually really is expensive.
Yeah, the base that they have, which is a single unit, was $6,000.
All right.
The full kit, jeez, which was four sleeves and two remotes, that was $18,000.
And
so,
did you see anything necessarily custom and special about this other than maybe the remote?
I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I mean, just wondering if you can take a TENS unit and kind of make one of your own.
I doubt it. And the reason is, and they were showing me the voltage for like a regular TENS unit versus this, and it's about twice.
Okay, so they've really kind of got a unique piece here then.
They do.
And the name of the company is?
Accuracy Under Fire.
All right.
We'll link to them so you guys can check this out. And you know, look them up on YouTube, check out their videos. It's actually kind of cool.
There's no way to simulate that because every time you have to do it in like a Dark Angel class or something like that, you have to, you know, act and mm-hmm. pretend, and that becomes tedious and cumbersome. And but when it actually just doesn't work.
Right. It's a whole different scenario.
I can see it.
I'm really curious to see, because I asked the guy, and he said it is something that they are considering and working on, but I'm like, can you do legs too?
Did Brandy ask for the head module?
No, but I could tell she was thinking it.
Oh, we gotta wrap the dick. That's all I'm saying.
Yikes, you went right there. Stop it. That's not nice.
That's just... No.
I mean, does that stop you when it's useless? I'm just saying.
I mean.
Wow. I bet we'll say that when he hit this thing, your arm went stiff.
Yeah.
Not limp.
No.
So it might go limp. The other way. I mean, and then you'd be in trouble.
Well, and the other problem is you can't tourniquet the taint.
No. But if that actually makes other things not work, that becomes a mess.
Oof. No, I didn't know. I didn't want to. No, I don't even want to contemplate this because that's just no.
This is nothing that they haven't already talked about at their own little office when they built this thing. You know they did.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. I did come across a company that was, it's a new form of AED. Smaller unit, more portable, supposedly less expensive, although I'm not sure. They were still in the thousands of dollars.
Yikes. Okay.
I told Brandy she could not have one of those either.
No defibrillator for you.
Come on, I put it in the nice 1980s skating rink bag you found.
I did find that. I found the body armor that was like the splatter paint. Oh. You know, so when you got to stack bodies at 4, but you have to be at the roller rink by 6.
Don Johnson would be proud.
He would.
Wow. They're actually trying to sell one of those, huh?
It was in the law enforcement section.
Yeah. So LE's going to party hardy? I don't know.
Maybe it's the new style of riot gear. I don't know.
Interesting. I don't think millennials are... That's who's coming into the police force now. I'm not sure that they even know what a skating rink is.
Probably. Makes them feel better. Kind of looks like you've had a bad day at paintball.
Oh, God. Then it's retro.
It is. Maybe that was the thing. Oh, it's just a paintball that hit me.
Interesting.
No, no, it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, all the new stuff, you walk by a booth and, hey, what's new this year? Oh, well, we've got this gun in blue.
Yeah.
That's not new. Guys out there, if that's what your new SKU is, stop it.
Well, I do have a theory on this, and I don't think anybody really wants to admit it, but the firearms industry for the last 18 months, 2 years, has really kind of been on life support as far as the recreational aspect of it. I mean, people just have not had disposable income.
When you watch that in ammo sales, they're not going out and shooting. They're not buying bulk ammo anymore.
Right. And I think that's been a lot of it. Nobody's got anything new because they're just trying to tread water.
And I completely agree with you. Just you're running in SHOT Show, and you stop by a booth they've always consistently had something different, something new. And you ask them what's new, and they show you a new color.
Mm-hmm.
I had several of these conversations. I was like, well, that's neat and it's pretty and all. And don't get me wrong, I probably want two of them. But that's not new.
Right.
You come to SHOT Show looking for innovation, something different. And I will go out and say chamberings aren't new either. if it's a cartridge that already exists and you just chambered the pistol in 30 super carry instead of 9mm.
Right.
That's not necessarily new anymore.
Right.
And some of the things that were new. What the hell do I need a tactical snack for?
Wait, what?
We did come across, they were tactical snacks.
They were tactical protein, gummy bears.
Protein gummies.
Protein gummies.
Yeah.
This is Vegas, and Mary Jane's legal there.
Yeah.
They weren't that. They were just straight up.
They said they were. I took one. I didn't feel funny.
Okay, good. Tactical snacks.
Tactical snacks.
All right. A couple of years back, we had tactical coffee, that was funny. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where that would have some traction with certain, you know, dealers. They put it in. It's a neat little end cap on an aisle in the springtime, summer type of deal. I can see that. That's a valid product.
Well, and my thought of it was, you know, okay, this might be kind of handy to throw in a range bag. You get somebody that's hypoglycemic or, you know, whatever. They're starting to drag in a class.
Yeah, but
here
it's
you go.
Tactical gummies. So the gummies, it's 100 degrees outside in your bag. Now you're going to need a knife to cut a chunk.
So when you open the bag, it's one gummy.
You hand them a straw. You got to adapt to the situation. I think... Actually, that should do that on purpose. If you're above a certain degrees, it should be a soup.
Oh, so it's like a Capri Sun.
Yes. If you're below a certain degrees, you might need a hammer to get access to it.
Well, you know. Yeah, okay, yeah, so you got to provide the right tools.
Tactical snacks.
Right.
I can see how this can work.
Now, Brandy did come across the gun that she decided she needs.
Oh,
it's not new. It's big and blue.
No, it's not new. We stopped by the Canic booth. I wanted to thank those guys for being PDN Tour sponsors last year. They're sponsoring again this year. But in a nice, shiny plexiglass case on the corner was their signature series.
And it was lit, and it was spinning and real slow. It looked like Vanna White flipping numbers.
Now, if it's a signature series, I would probably wager there's more to it than just blue. They did some augmentation to this pistol.
There is, and it's one of their tactical models, and Brandy said she likes it and she needs it, and I'm going, the damn thing's the size of a Desert Eagle. So
I could conceal that in my car.
In your car, yes. Yes,
she's going to need the flip-out roof like they use for the Dillons to get it out. But
I want a flip-out roof.
I do too.
But yes, I'll bet they did a lot of work to that pistol. If it's in their signature series, Canic's pretty good about making that have all the bells and whistles.
Oh, it does. It does. I'm trying to figure out a holster for it.
Right. I mean, how much of that would normally be custom shop stuff, though? And they're putting it into a production item. I think that qualifies as new.
Signature Series does have a limit run, so that raises the price.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not going to flood the market.
Well, their extra parts bin's empty now.
That's exactly how that went.
But that is the level of stuff we saw new, yeah?
Oh, you're missing the dog vests with the onboard water system.
Oh yes,
my dog would eat that thing.
We did find it was like, you know, dog vests like you see the tactical vests, except this one had pouches that held a collapsible dog bowl. It had a food pouch and it had two camelbacks.
About time those freeloaders carry their own shit.
I know, right? Although I did find, I found the best patch for our dog. There was another dog running around the show, and I happened to glance down, and there was a patch on this dog's vest, and it said Crisis Actor. And I searched on my way home, and I ordered two patches for our dog, because he is a crisis actor.
Yeah, I can see your dog being a crisis actor. He is totally that dog.
Everything is a crisis.
Yes. Matter of fact, he's at the door of the Ranger right now whining because you're not letting him in.
No, I know. Well, you know, it's cold. It's like 4 degrees outside.
He's wearing a fur coat. He don't care.
And a hoodie.
Right.
All right. So I got some more, but let's check in with 10th Mountain. We'll be right back.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
So, walking around the show, did you see anything you absolutely could not live without? Did you have to come home and make an order?
The chapstick.
I get that
at
Walgreens.
I did spend some time behind a twin Modus on a mount. Nobody likes me that much. I'm seeing this in the headlights. All right. No, I did spend some time at the SDS booth holding that compact version of the double stack 1911. And I'll be damned if that thing doesn't fit my little itty-bitty pitties. So, yeah, I'm probably going to have one. You might see me in suspenders because, well, it is a 1911 and it'll have a lot of ammo in it and it'll probably pull my pants down. But at $650.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't go wrong.
And say what you will about SDS or Live Free Armory or some of these guys that are making the budget guns or importing or whatever. The guns are right.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I'll spend a little time with a Honestone, and those raceways are going to be nice and glossy for me, and it'll run. I think the folks that make the custom double stacks and the staccatos should be a shade nervous that everybody's got their product now and a little bit of love and attention, and they can run.
Yeah.
We're not talking about unicorn poop here. This thing is going to be easy to service.
Right. So I ended up, we won't say how I ended up with one of the new Ruger RDX pistols.
You fucking won it.
I never win shit. I don't know how
not
that
this
happened.
Year, dick.
But so I got a hold of one of those, and we actually talked about this at our very first of the year podcast. And this is a cool gun. It's a collaboration between Magpul and Ruger. It's a Glock clone, 1917, somewhere in between. But it's 85% compatible with Glock parts. RDX.
85% compatible.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming.
Well, it's not compatible. They're using the mags, yeah?
You're using the mags. The barrels are compatible. The triggers are compatible.
What's not?
I don't know.
I mean, what else do you do? I mean, mag release?
Yeah, probably something
because
like that.
I don't know. The grip angle on the one I held, it's right. It points right.
It is right. Now, Brandy did say it's a little fat for her.
It's a Glock.
It is, and I think it's the RXM.
It's a double-stack 9mm polymer pistol. They're going to be a little thicker in the grip. They just are.
And it's stealth gray Magpul furniture.
Yeah. Which is why I question when you put your hands on that and said it was too fat, how in the hell are you going to hold that canic?
Both hands and a pinky toe, bitches.
She wants it. She's willing to get the pinky toe out.
Okay, I guess.
Damn.
I got to go have a conversation with Canic. So I saw there was two things that really caught my attention. There was one, not really a product, more of a service. It's called the Range Network. And what these guys are doing is they're creating a network of ranges, Range Network, right? And they're getting people, allowing people to buy memberships to where they can get into all of these ranges wherever they travel all over the U.S. They're going to, you know, discount range fees. The next thing that they're working on is a network of instructors and be able to post their classes at these affiliated ranges. So if people are going to be able to get onto their website and search for, hey, I'm looking for this specific training, and it'll come up with XYZ instructor doing it at ABC range.
So now you need to pull out your Rolodex and call the ranges, ask them if they're in network, and you're going to have to pitch classes to all of them and make a deal for those that fill.
Right.
You're going to be traveling a lot again.
Well, I found out I'm going to Mexico again in March.
Nice.
And Idaho, because that's close.
Oh, yeah, got to go to Idaho.
Well, and I will tell you that if you do the network thing on the range thing right, you will build business.
Oh, yeah. It'd be impossible not to. Yeah. And I think especially now, I think we're starting to see. I thought the Trump effect would be people would be, you know, deep breath and, okay, I don't have to be scared now. I don't have to get training. I can put that off for another 4 years. But it's ramped up. It kind of took me by surprise. I've had more phone calls since the election than I had the whole previous year.
You're starting to see the other side ramp up their rhetoric. I've noticed that social media has become very aggressive from the left. And Trump's doing exactly what he said he was going to do, just like every other time he comes out and says anything.
I know. And they can't stand that because, oh, my God, a politician that tells the truth and stands by his convictions.
Makes good on his promises.
Right.
And it makes them crazy because they thought that might have just been a campaign promise and it was, you know, kind of toothless.
Yeah, meant nothing.
Not with this guy.
No.
So
And I don't know why they're surprised. We watched him do it for 4 years.
They live in delusional land.
That's
true. Their politicians' words don't mean what they think it does. This guy comes out and says, I'm going to deport people. If they don't belong here, they're going home. And he's averaging 900 a day.
Yeah.
Those numbers are expected to triple in the next month.
Well, and he's been in office for a week.
Yeah.
So pretty impressive, hit the ground running.
The narrative you're going to see in the wake of this specific topic is they're going to claim that he's breaking up families and how heartless is he? Well, everybody has known for a long, long time there's a right and wrong way to come to this country.
That's right.
If you're not here the right way, go home. Come back the right way and we'll welcome you with open arms. That's the issue.
Right. And that's just it. You talk to most people and nobody has a problem with legal immigration.
Not at all. That's how this country got formed.
That's right.
But there's a right way.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to any of those immigrants that came here the right way, how do they feel about the folks?
Oh, they're mad.
They're mad, mad, mad. They're lucky that they're not in control of what happens to them.
Right. So, back to SHOT. The one other thing that I saw that I couldn't live without, came home, actually put in an order today. A company called NextTorch. They came out with, I don't even know really what they call it, an electronic distraction device. Essentially, this thing is a digital flashbang.
It's a green flashbang.
Yeah.
You can reuse it.
Yeah. And apparently, they were telling me at the booth, 4,000 cycles on a charge.
How many times can you charge?
On the lowest charge.
Yeah. But it's indefinitely, as far as I know.
Because in a training scenario, at the frequency that I saw this thing, you're like at 100 cycles per toss before somebody grabs it and shuts it off before they have a seizure.
Yeah.
But that's a long time on a charge.
But they don't really have to shut it off because they have it running 5 seconds, 12 seconds. There's different settings.
And that's what we're talking about, a cycle, on-off, right? You toss this thing in and it goes to flashing and making the noise. Each of those wee-woo, you know, is a cycle.
Right.
So at 4,000, and you get 100 of those per toss, that's a lot of tosses per charge.
Right.
And I'm assuming it's a lithium battery, so indefinite charging.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and the cool thing is it's programmable, so you can have it do different things. It'll toss it in, it goes off, and then it shuts itself off, and then it goes off again. And nobody sees that coming, because what flashbang goes off twice?
None of them.
You know, they'll...
How is it effective in contrast to a standard traditional flashbang?
I was quite impressed because they threw me in a closet and they tossed one in with me.
But it was dark. What if the room is slightly light? The light wouldn't affect you as much as the noise would be weird.
As much, but it's no different than a normal flashbang.
You got tossed in a closet?
Yeah.
Brandy made good on her promise. Driving down, I asked her what she was going to do with you because you didn't have any appointment set. And she said she was going to toss you in a closet.
She did.
I'll be damned.
And then she tossed one of these things in. And it's,
I have video of it.
It's crazy. So the sound, 130 decibels. The light is 11,000 lumens. And this thing is strobing.
That's bright.
So if you're seizure prone, stay away. But from a training perspective, I looked at it this way. Because we've trained with flashbangs before. We do room clearings. We do entries and things like that. A normal flashbang is over $100, and it's a one-time use item. Now, you can get reloadable cartridges for them, but those are $80 a pop.
Yep.
And if you get somebody that screws up the toss, doesn't do this right, now you got to reload and do it over. You just wasted $80.
I've always appreciated the compound effect on a flashbang between the bright flash, the percussion wave that happens when you toss one in a room, right? And then the disorientation from those two things, coupled with a little bit of smoke, that's very effective to buy you some time and some grace as you enter a room, mm-hmm. right? The digital one doesn't offer that percussion.
I will tell you this, though. The sound, and it's just the frequency of it, it rattles your head.
So it does disrupt the thought process.
It does.
Okay. All right. I'm interested.
So your smoke alarm in your house, right? Crank that up about 40 decibels and imagine that piercing in your ears.
No, sir.
That's what it's like.
That's impressive.
But in a package that I can basically reuse indefinitely, MSRP, I think, was $315. So
yeah, it's worth it.
I ordered four.
Straight up worth it. So in that vein, when's Brandy going to let you build the shoot house right out here?
Never.
Never.
We did.
She's so hard lined.
I know. And we saw like really cool shoot house blocks and stuff.
Yeah, the big Legos.
Uh-huh.
There was one shoot house that was inflatable.
It was inflatable.
I'm like, yeah, inflatable is probably not the best idea.
Is that the airsoft shoot house I saw?
Could have been.
It might have been.
Because they have curtains and stuff between walls that the little BBs won't go through. So, yeah. I mean, it's still kind of cool. I'm like a grown-up bouncy house. But I think you got to consider, with some acreage like you've got, a shoot house is not all bad.
I would love to, but, you know, boss says no.
I know.
I could probably get away with it, but then I'd have to buy her a cow.
Wait, you're going to buy her some steaks on the hoof and...
No, it'd be a mini. No steaks.
So petite fillets on the hoof.
Right.
I'm not helping, and I can see that in the look in her eyes. So
ribeye is like, you know, quarter.
No, I think a shoot house would be cool, but I think the flashback is very interesting. I want to see it when you get it.
Yeah. We'll get them out. We'll do a review on them, film it.
Okay.
That'll be one of the first things we do on, because we've got the Deer Shooter YouTube up now.
Are we going to start doing some of our fabled reviews that we've been talking about for a few years now?
We are going to start doing it. I've got a list.
Good.
I'm also working on a page to add to the website for articles and reviews.
Okay.
I'm struggling.
You don't get to review us. Sorry, guys.
Now, hold on a second. I think from a comic standpoint, that could be fun.
It could be fun. I wonder, when do we start getting death threats?
It's coming. It's a matter of time. I'm involved. It won't take long.
Just make sure you leave your email address.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if we can take you seriously without one. All right. So this trip in Vegas was really, really good. Right? It was less stressful. We got to have the meetings we needed to have. And I'm not going to tell y'all how much, but Brandy won a pretty substantial amount one night. And it was interesting to me to watch the casino's response to the win.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't going to.
The simple fact of, all right, we've got somebody here in a crowded casino, and all truth be told, not the best part of town.
No.
That won a bunch of money by most folks in that casino standards. I mean, it was a bunch of money. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, I'm awesome.
But she came out with some paperwork. They took your ID. They did all that horrible formal stuff that makes you cringe on taxes later.
And then they took you to the cage.
Yeah. They took you and whisked you all the way down to the other end of the hall, took you behind the closed doors at the cage. They counted the money in front of you a couple times. Did any of them take their shoes off?
No, but they counted it. So the lady in the cage counts it to an employee on the outside.
Yep.
And then they take it over, and there's another employee that counts it to yet another employee. This whole time, security's in there with us.
Yep. How many officers did you have?
I had two officers inside the cage. And then the last person that it gets counted to turns around and has to count it to me.
Okay. And this is because you chose the cash option.
I didn't have a choice.
Oh, they did.
So
okay.
We can say I won less than 50K, because at 50K, that's when they take taxes and write you a check.
Right.
Anything below that is cash, sure. And that's a lot of cash that they stick in an envelope.
Okay.
Just a white envelope that you mail your legal documents in.
The number 10 envelope
is
pretty fat
envelope,
at that
point. And the security guy walks you to your room.
Yeah, so when you came out of the cage, me and Jason were both waiting because we kind of knew how this was going to go. And you felt uncomfortable having that on you. So they whisked us straight upstairs to the room where you put it in the safe. But they walked you all the way there. And the entire time, I was interested to watch the security guard. His situational awareness was pretty good. He kept his head on a swivel, and he was talking to you very calmly, in the matter of fact of, if you see this, find a phone, dial this. If you see this, because he's seen it before. Somebody sees somebody with money, and they're going to try and extort them out of it.
You're on a crowded casino floor.
Yep.
Everyone saw the attendants and the security detail come out. I mean, it's now being a rougher part of Vegas, maybe. The machine itself did not make all the bells and whistles that they do at other casinos. That's kind of on the down low, but you're no longer on the down low when six employees come out and two of them are security.
Well, the high-pitched squeal that probably came out of you of, I don't know what to do now.
It wasn't really a high-pitched squeal, because I was about three machines over. I was probably, 15 feet away from you. And you turned around and looked at me and went, I don't know what to do. And right about that time, I was sitting in a machine that hit. And I'm like, I'll be there in a second.
Yeah, I got to kind of half apologize. I was half a property away, and I was having a good time with the machine I was sitting at, and my phone goes beep, beep. I ignored it for a few minutes because I was like, I'll get to that. It's just a text message. And then I got the message, and I cashed out, and I went to find you all. But the security guard that took us upstairs was really, really good.
Yeah, he
was
good.
Very professional.
He was good.
Young guy, and he talked to you. He understood who me and Jason were in the equation, but he talked to you, which I was really impressed with. I've seen it in situations where the security guy wants to talk to the husband in the situation. Well, it wasn't him that won. He was talking to you. And I thought that was really good of the casino to have that guy.
It was, but still, you know, I always wanted to make the bells and whistles go off and feel important. Didn't actually feel important. You almost, by the time they drag you into the cage and drag you out with somebody who takes
you
to
like
your
room.
You feel
like you did something wrong.
Yeah, you did something wrong. You're grounded now. They take you to the room, you know?
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, how is this on your police escort? I mean, top ever, or because I know you've been escorted before.
Well, this time...
You weren't in trouble?
I wasn't. I wasn't in trouble. And I was carrying more cash than anybody would ever feel comfortable carrying in cash. And then the next morning, you have to take this said stuff, which I put inside of a bag that's inside of a bag that's, you know, one of our SHOT Show bags. 9,000 of them are wandering around the property right now. It all looks the same. And we tell the taxi driver, because I don't want to tell him I have cash. So I tell the taxi driver, I need to go to a bank. And I had my bank. I told him what my bank was. And I can't just go to an ATM. I have to talk to a human.
Correct. Because the casinos all have ATMs. That was not what you needed to do. He'd be an idiot to think that he'd just take you to an ATM. So
I think
good
he
you
knew
explained it.
What was going on, because he's like, I've got the right place for you. And then he sat and he waited for us. And he shut the meter off while he was waiting.
He did us a solid on that one. I tipped well. Yeah, there's no way.
Super nice guy.
Yeah, no, he'd be great.
This was the year that I didn't have any issues with Uber or taxis. They were all good.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, congratulations.
It was awesome. I wish I could do it again, but I doubt I ever will in my life, because who wins the major jackpot on a penny machine?
You.
You do. Watched it happen.
But going back to the security, because there was a guy that night that was floating around, and every time we would go to the machine to cash out, he'd be there trying to take money out. And he was maxing out credit cards, and he was on the phone to his bank and his credit card. And the guy had a problem, to the point where after all of this happened and we went back down for another hour or so and goofed off, I ran into him in the men's room, and he was starting to hustle people for money.
Yikes. All right, so he had a problem.
And then when we left the next morning to go to the bank, he was still on the casino floor.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's a problem.
No, and if you're on the phone with your credit card or your debit card or whatever it is, standing at the ATM in a casino, there is something epically wrong. And he did this. I watched him 3 or 4 times that night. And when you pointed him out as the guy that was doing the hustling, he was hustling a Galata sitting next to a machine.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in the bathrooms anymore. He was looking for single women to try and leverage. It was not a shining moment for humanity.
No, and that's when I saw him again the next morning. I walked up to one of the security guys and I said, "Yeah, this guy probably needs to go." And I explained the situation, and I'm like, "He was here 9 hours ago when we left."
Man, I don't mind having a guy spend some time in a casino, but that guy was struggling with a lot of different things all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't being mean trying to get him thrown out of a casino. I think you were trying to help him.
I'm not sure I did, because I think at that point, I think he might have been beyond help.
Yeah. I just wonder how insistent the hustling in the bathroom got, because that'll get your teeth knocked out.
And there's no cameras in there. There's nothing in there, so unless security walks in.
Yeah, but it takes one report, and those guys go, they wrestle that up out of there. They can't have it on the floor.
Right.
But interesting. It was a different dynamic at the casino for sure this year.
Well, you know, that's what you get for saying on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, but nobody ever wins like that I've ever been around. I've won a couple $1,000, you know, minor jackpots here or there. Brandy did a good job.
She did.
And she's a money hoarder, so we all know that she's not going to spend it on bubblegum and baseball cards.
No, not at all. she'll have that to go to Vegas with next year.
Yeah, she's buying a defibrillator. You watch.
Yeah, God, no.
I might need two.
Really? One for the car, one for home?
One for each of you.
Easy.
But no, overall, I thought, I mean, great. Yeah, there really wasn't nothing. There wasn't a lot new.
Yeah.
But overall, I had a great time at SHOT.
And just as we leave here, just I'll leave you with a side note. Jason Kohlander did show up to Vegas, and he was supposed to connect with me. He never did. So this morning, I reached out and asked him, are you all right, dude? And he said it's been a great experience. He's having a hard time remembering it all, and he's still in Vegas.
That would be why he never contacted us. Oddly enough, there was a lot of that in Vegas. I was supposed to meet up with people, and I, you know, message and call, and it was like, I don't know.
They found a better offer.
Apparently. What's a better offer than me? I mean, come on.
Do not ask the questions you don't want the answer to.
On that note, we'll see you guys back here in another week. And until then, keep blaming your new gun that you got from SHOT.